Amp Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavassi International. Lavassi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavassi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavassi International, lavassi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.UK. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we
Amp Radio.
Yeah, okay. You know, what are you doing?
Radio. Fetch.
Big meat.
Fetch.
Shoop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop.
Fetch.
Miami 360 performance.
Fetch.
They're gonna bang, bro.
Fetch.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound of it.
All right.
Yes, indeed. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by the Amp Radio Network. Thank you, Gordy. Oh, as I mentioned, another edition. This one we like to call Smack My Picks Up. We've got a combo show. We've got two shows again this weekend, so it's going to be Jacare versus Brunson 2, also known as UFC on Fox 27, and Bellator 193, Larkin versus Gonzalez. Wow, that turned into a mess, didn't it, guys, that fight? Anyways, we'll get into that a little bit later. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, since we did not do This Week in MMA this evening, or this week, we will be doing it this evening. We've got the whole crew here. Let's start to bring them in. My friend, DJ Tony, cue her music. You know who she is. The first lady of Amp Radio, the life of the party. Let's bring her in.
Glad we're doing this today. You know, I haven't packed it for my trip, so, you know.
Yes, yes. I failed to read the read for the beginning, but UFC on Fox 27 will be held, as Pam was saying, Saturday, January 27th, mm-hmm. from the Spectrum Center in good old Charlotte, North Carolina. I hear, Pam, that is 4 hours yep. drive from you.
It is, because we are, excuse me, we're right on the coast. I mean, we are right on the beach, and Charlotte is a little bit northwest of us. So there's a couple of ways to go. We can either go down through South Carolina and come up. It's weird, but yeah, 4 hours in the car. But you know what? It'll be fun. Road trip, I'll be the DJ.
You be the rapper.
Yeah.
Listen. So is it the Sam and Pam show again? Is the Sam and Pam show getting together again for this event?
No, this weekend. Yeah, after this event, Sam and I will be, you know, doing more stuff together. But this weekend it's going to be the Pam and Paul show.
Aha! So it'd be a repeat of last year. You, Paul, and Lerone getting back together again.
Yeah, it's a bang, bro. And Buffalo Blue is going to be joining us. So it's going to be good. It's going to be a great time.
And of course, as I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, Bellator 193 Larkin versus Gonzalez will take place on January 26th, 2018 at the Pechanga Resort and Casino near
Alternative
DJ
facts.
Tony. Well, maybe it's not near DJ Tony in Temecula, California. How far away, DJ Tony? Let's cue your music, first of all. Bring yourself in.
You know what, guys? That would be approximately 5 or 6 hours away from me. So that's home, of course, Brandon from the IE, because that's a little too far for me.
Gotcha. Now, Tony, as we were mentioning, not only will it be coming to you from the glorious state of California, but this event, remember, ladies and gentlemen, will air in primetime on the newly rebranded Paramount Network. Apparently, if you had Spike, you still have this. DJ Tony is what I hear. I'm not from the States. But I guess, Tony, last weekend they aired the show on CMT as well. Do you think they'll be doing that again this weekend?
Yeah, I think from now on it's they have to do it on both. But it'll be great. It'll be curious to see, like I said, on Junkie Guys, what their numbers will be, what their ratings will be, probably one-third of what they did. But it'll be curious to see if they have any momentum carry on.
And, of course, Tony, as I read through the reads here, this will be the UFC's fourth visit to Charlotte. Of course, we mentioned last year Pam and the Pam team rolled out with Lerone. And the first since UFC Fight Night, UFC Fight Night Florian versus Gomi in March 2010. As we bring Marco in, Marco, it's going to be a rematch between the former Strikeforce middleweight champion, our boy, you know him, you love him, Chuck Ray, and Derek Brunson.
Marco from Waco. Hey, ¿qué pasa?
Hey, pasa, are you excited?
You know what? After, like, big events, like the past weekend, it's hard to get on bed for the next weekend. It is hard, man. I mean, I'm glad Pam is going to the live event because, you know, it makes a difference, you know, when you're live. But, you know, I'm going to watch. I'm not going to lie because I'm a junkie. But let's get on with this thing, bro. Let's do it.
Okay. So, Marco, getting ready to get into this. And, of course, I mentioned this is the second fight between Jacare and Derek Brunson. Of course, their first fight, Marco, was previously in August of 2012 in Strikeforce, with Souza winning by first-round knockout. And you're not excited to see our boy back in action? Come on now.
I'll let you know when I do my breakdown.
All right, so as I mentioned, Marco coming at us deep from the heart of Texas.
Deep from the heart of Texas.
So, guys, it's like you said, Marco, let's get into this one. A little bit of a mess at the top of this Bellator card, ladies and gentlemen.
Where's your intro music?
I had my intro music at the beginning of the show. You heard Gordy.
Yeah. I got you.
That's back to me. And the Joker, that's me again. All right. So
hey,
we've got, yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, let me give you an alternative fact. Pachanga is also slang for a party.
So, all right. The party casino.
There you go.
I love it. So, as I mentioned, Bellator 193, Larkin versus Gonzalez had a little bit of problems, but let's go ahead and get into it. Fernando Gonzalez, age 34, 27-14, and I'll give you the odds. Of course, these are coming from Five Dimes. Ladies and gentlemen, coming from DJ Tony. Fernando is at a plus 275 against our boy, former UFC fighter Lorenz Larkin, 31, 18, 7-1. He's the favorite coming at us at a minus 335. Marco, let me throw to you. What you got?
What I got is this is Bellator at their best matchmaking to rehabilitate a fighter. Oh, by the way, I went 4-0 last weekend. Yeah, me. you know, they invested good money on Lorenz Larkin. He's already 0-2 on Bellator, you know. Lost to Paul Daly. Lost to Douglas Lima, you know, nothing to sneeze about. So this guy, Gonzalez, is the perfect guy for him to get him back his confidence, to reintroduce him to the Bellator, you know, fan base. A lot of people are down on Larkin right now. Like, what happened to him, you know? I mean, he was hot in the UFC, and all of a sudden he lost two in a row. Well, they're giving him a gimmick. I mean, he's supposed to win this fight. The only way he doesn't win this fight is if he doesn't freaking have his P's and Q's all connected. Larkin, you know, on an interview with Brett Akamoto from ESPN, was pretty critical of Douglas Lima And the way he lost to, you know, Rory McDonald, he said, hey, low fight IQ. Well, don't freaking fall on a banana peel here, Lawrence, because, you know, you cannot beat Gonzalez. You might get your pink slip out of Bellator. I'm thinking Larkin to win. I mean, everything indicates that he's a better striker, the more experienced guy, the guy with the knockout power, the more athletic guy. The odds are correct. I'm going to pick Larkin on a second-round TKO. Hopefully, everything's going to be fine. There's no going to be no weird business. Sucks that Gonzalez didn't make weight, but, you know, that tells you all that you need to know about this guy, Gonzalez. He's not professional enough to even make the weight. So I expect Larkin to school this guy, his style, and then get rehabilitated for another big fight, maybe against MVP in the future.
Right. And Pam, we're going to throw it to you. As Marco had alluded to, Lorenz Larkin has a little bit of the Benson Henderson problem, you know, coming over to Bellator and not looking his greatest. What you got here?
Okay. So, yes, but at the same time, the people that he lost to, Paul Daly and Douglas Lima, were one of Bellator's, I guess, cream of the crop that he lost to. Keep in mind that he does have wins over Magny, Masvidal, Ponzinibbio. So, you know, it's not that he's bad. I just think he got maybe outmatched with Lima and Daly. But given that, you're looking at Fernando Gonzalez, who's actually coming off of two straight wins. He's a kickboxer. But both of these guys are decisionators. And I do think that Lorenz Larkin is the more fine-tuned of the fighters. He's a boxing, kung fu. He's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, where I was trying to find out what Fernando Gonzalez was, and I think basically he just has a kickboxing background. So I think that Larkin is just a little bit more polished, and I'm going to pick him with the second round TKO. Excuse me.
I know. Kung fu.
So basically the same pick from Pam here. All right, taking Larkin second round TKO. Marco, of course, also taking Larkin second round TKO. DJ Tony, let's throw to you. Do you think that we are seeing a problem here with Larkin, or do you think he's going to be able, as Marco and Pam have said, shake it off and get this one done?
Here's the tough part. The tough part is that Lawrence Larkin, and Pam will probably agree with me here, reminds me a lot of our boy Uriah Hall. Like all the talent in the world, and you don't know which version of Larkin you're going to get. And the thing is, Fernando Gonzalez, he's like that fighter that they have, Artegia. I forgot what her first name is. But Bellator basically throws her in every single time to take a loss, and somehow she becomes victorious somehow. And that's who I think Fernando, minus the weight issues, I think that's what he is. The problem is he looked pretty good against MVP in San Jose. So, I mean, honestly, if he takes his shirt off, you know what? You don't want to see that. He's not very good with the shirt off, but somehow he fights his way into fights. Two straight wins, guys. He did beat, and Pam's right, he's a decisionator, but he did beat Brandon Ward via submission, beat Brandon Gertz. Both of those guys are pretty talented, but I think Marco and Pam are right. I think if everything aligns, Lawrence Larkin, or as people like to call him, LL, he should be able to be victorious. But I'm going to go victorious, let's say, via decision, because I don't know if he can put it all together and knock out Fernando like he should.
Well, LL does have two LLs, right? Back to back.
Oh!
But doom, boom, that's a burn and a half if I ever heard one. I'm going to tell you. All right, guys, I think I'm going to have to agree with all of you in this one. And you know, like Pam said, you know, Larkin lost to a really, really skilled fighter and then got caught by Paul Daly. You know what I mean? Like Douglas Lima at the top of the division, well, not so much anymore, but, and then just, you know, got clipped, and we discussed this when we discussed this fight back a couple of shows ago, you know, got caught by Paul Daly, and really anybody can get caught by Paul Daly. So I think Lorenz is going to be able to keep it together, get the third round, probably TKO for me. So Larkin, that's a clean sweep, for him. I'm going to go third round TKO Proteus. All right, guys, we are going to try and do our best to breeze through all the action that's going to happen this weekend. So we're going to move from the Bellator card on Friday night right into UFC on Fox 27. Pam, we're going to start with you. We're going to do the co-main event. Featherweight division, we go. Dennis Bermudez versus your boy, Andre Touchy-Feely. What you got here, Pammy?
This is going to be a fun fight. I mean, you know, on paper, and I'm sure the odds have Dennis Bermudez winning this easily. But you know what? I like, shout out to Team Alpha Male. I like Touchy-Feely. I do like him because, you know, if you look at his record, in theory, he win-loss. So, in theory, it is his time to lose because it's a pattern. He has this pattern. But, you know, he looked great against Artem, who was the, you know, the next, I guess, Conor McGregor, whatever, you know, Conor's boy and the Russian hammer that can't be defeated and all that other bullshit.
Who the
but
fuck is
he looked
that
really
guy?
Good on, he looked good against Artem. He's got a win over Joaquin Diaz, Gabriel Benitez. And the thing I like about Andre, he's unpredictable. He's, you know, decision, KO by head kicks, submission, so TKO. So you don't know what he has in his arsenal. He's, like I said, very unpredictable. But you're going up against Dennis Bermudez. Dennis Bermudez, known for his takedowns, ground and pound, cardio, wrestling. But again, Dennis Bermudez is a decisionator. And I know he's ranked number 11, but I'm going with Feely. I'm going with my Touchy-Feely. And I, you know what, I'm going to go out on the limb. I'm going with a KO from Touchy-Feely. And I am saying second round for me, because I want to, I think they're going to kind of see what each other has in the first round. But I got to go with my guy Feely.
Okay, so that's
second round TKO for me. Yep.
Okay, so as Pam mentioned, I neglected to give you guys any of the odds. Before we throw to Marco, let me get that out. Dennis Bermudez, 31-16-7, is the favorite at a minus 150. Again, these odds coming from five dimes against your boy, Andre Touchy-Feely, 27 years old, 17-5 at a plus 130. Marco, but Dennis
was
Bermudez
this a
is coming off of two.
Would this be considered a pick'em or not really, or...
Marco, I want to get to field that question.
No, Dennis Bermudez is very, very slight favorite. Very, very slight.
Yeah, right. But, okay, so as I was saying quickly, Marco, before you go, Dennis Bermudez coming off of two straight losses. What do you have here, Marco?
Man, I've been struggling with this fight because even though Bermudez is the favorite, you know, Feely has been doing his thing. You know, he has been feeling things around. But you know what? A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Dennis Bermudez was in a 7-5 winning streak. He was knocking at the door of a title shot. He never got it. However, you know, Dennis Bermudez is always going to be an honest fight, a greedy fight, and a hard fight. And Feely, he's you know, he touch and go. Sometimes he's really, really in. He's all in.
Touchy and go.
Yeah, he struggled with grapplers, man. And Feely struggled with grapplers, and that is what Dennis Bermudez is. I've been like tossing a coin to see who I'm going to pick on this one, but I'm going to go with Bermudez, man. The guy still is an elite grappler. He knows how to grind. He knows who to decisionate. He knows how to win rounds. And Feely always needs space, you know. He's a better striker than Bermudez. If Bermudez is going to play that game, he's going to be in trouble. But I think Bermudez is going to grind it, take it to the ground, and make it actually a kind of a boring fight. For a featherweight, neither Feely nor Bermudez are ever going to be like real contenders. They're always going to gravitate around the top 15 and top 10 and maybe even top 8, but they're never going to make a top 5 or contend for a title. So it's a good entertaining fight if it stays on the feet. It's going to be a boring fight if it goes to the ground because Bermudez is going to wrestle fuck Feely. I'm going to pick Bermudez by a unanimous 29-28 decision.
All right, DJ Tony. Now, everybody has been mentioning Dennis Bermudez's wrestling game, but we know that touchy-feely comes from a camp that is fairly wrestling-based. And, of course, as we can see from Feely's picture, he is swiftly running out of real estate for tattoos. Tony, who you got?
You know, it's funny that you say that. Great minds think alike. You know, shout out, by the way, to Team Alpha Male, of course. But here's the thing. If you look at Dennis Bermudez, guys, 31 years old, 5'6", 5'6", 145. How many people in Team Alpha Male are 5'6", 145? Like the entire roster? I mean, literally the entire roster, right? So,
except for Steven.
Right? So, right. So Andre, as and I call him Dre because, you know, we've never met. But Andre, of course, I don't get anything on that one. Wow. I was dropping crickets on that one by myself. All right. But here's the thing, guys. Andre Touchy-Feely is kind of a, you know, if you look at his last five, he's 2-3 in his last five, 2-4 in his last six. Before that, he went on this run where he was beating a bunch of people, right? But look at it this way. I think he faces a lot of people like Dennis Bermudez. One could say that Dennis Bermudez's body is very similar to that of, you know, Uriah Faber, right? So somehow I think he's going to pull this off, guys, and I think he's going to pull this off only because I think he's due. I hate to say this. I mean, they're both, what, on losing streaks, right? I mean, Bermudez lost two straight. Andre Touchy-Feely barely beat Andre Loboff. I mean, barely. Right, and he should have killed Artem Lobov because Artem is a 500 fighter. Right, is he even in the UFC any longer? I'm not sure.
I think.
Yeah, I think Touchy-Feely is going to somehow, you know, eat this one out. So I'm going with Touchy-Feely via. You know what? Let's make it spectacular. How about a second round flying knee or leg kick, and he beats Dennis Bermudez, headed of course to Bellator.
Awesome.
So second round
and
KO.
Keep in mind, the reach of Feely is, oh my God, 8 inches. Is that right? Did I do my math right? 66?
What she said?
8 inches.
Excuse me,
that's
bitch.
Those are good inches.
And you know, as Pam likes to say, those inches matter.
They do.
Again, Marco, I'm sorry. I wrote everything down, but the your finish there. Can you give it to me again?
29-28
All right. Wonderful. Thank you.
What say you?
Guys, I wanted to apologize to everyone. As Marco had pointed out, my voice is sounding a little raspy this evening. My family has been dealing with a lot of sickness for the past week and a half, so my apologies. Yes, I'm going to agree with Marco. I think that this is a fight that I have been going back and forth on, and is the up and coming young guy and Andre Feely going to be able to get it done against, you know, a very, very tough guy and Dennis Bermudez? Yes, he's coming off of two losses and perhaps, as DJ Tony had mentioned, could be on his way to Bellator. I agree with DJ Tony. I think it's something spectacular is going to happen. I think Andre Feely, or Dre, as we're calling him because we're friends with him now, I think he's going to be able to withstand that wrestling game of Bermudez, get away from the big power, use his 8 inches, as Pam pointed out, to keep Bermudez away from him and get something done and work in that range that Marco said that he needs. I'm going to take Andre Feely as well. I'm going to take him by not that this is great great podcasting or anything, but I'm going to agree with Tony as well. I'm going to take second round KO. I see something spectacular is going to happen here. Dennis Bermudez is probably going to put his head in a place that he shouldn't. That sounded terrible for going for a takedown and maybe get run into a knee, as Tony had mentioned as well.
Yeah, don't put that shit in a place that you're not supposed to with those 8 inches, man.
I know, right?
Boom, boom. There it is.
All right, guys.
apparently that's sexual assault nowadays, Pam. We can't do that anymore.
Excuse
Let's move
me,
along,
bitch.
Though. The reason that
I
we're
was
here.
About his bridge, you nuts.
Oh, sorry. Woof. I apologize. Oh, Lord above. All right, guys. Let's move along to the main event. We go. Go to the middleweight division. Our boy, Sugar Ray.
coming at us at the ripe old young age of 38, 25-5-1, and of course being the favorite. These odds, of course, again coming from five times at a -162 against Derek Bronson, a former foe from Strikeforce, as we mentioned earlier on, 34 years old, 18-5 at a +142. Marco, we throw to you. What you got?
Okay, well, so the odds are really surprising because back when they fought the first time, that game was like a 3-1 favorite. These odds are very, very close. That tells you a lot of what people think about Jacare more than what they think about Derek Bronson. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. Jacare's getting old, man. And his last fight, he got murked by the current champion, Robert Whittaker. I mean, Robert Whittaker murked him. He was ugly. And Whittaker also put up the blueprint to beat Jacare. Take down defense. Don't let him take you down. And if he gets decent striking, you can do something there. Now, Derek Bronson, his striking has been evolving ever since he learned not to put his chin in front of him. He has been more patient. He has been, more polished. And, back in the day when he fought Joel Romero, he was beating Joel Romero before Joel Romero put a rabbit out of his ass and knocked him out on the third round. A lot of people argue that he beat Anderson Silva, on that debacle in Brazil. That was a robbery, but on my book, I think Bronson did win that fight. And I think he learned his lesson against Robert Whittaker. Besides that, he has been marking people, knocking people out left and right. This is not the same guy that fought Jacare in 2012. Derek Bronson is a more polished fighter now, a little bit younger. He's a freak athlete. He doesn't tire out, and we've seen Jacare tire out, especially in the Romero fight. I didn't like that. And we saw him wilt against Robert Whittaker when Robert Whittaker put it on him. So guess what, guys? I'm picking Derek Bronson on the slight upset to actually knock out Jacare on the second round. Knock him out cold. Jacare is a chain that he never got a title shot. The guy should have got a title shot probably 2-3 years ago. But I think he's on the tail end. And like we said, everybody got their run. I've seen Jacare runs, he's done. He got a lot of mileage on his body, not only from MMA, but also from jiu-jitsu tournaments and competition. So this is the swan song for Jacare. I mean, he's still going to be a player on the middleweight division, but I don't think he's a contender anymore. So I'm picking Derek Bronson with a second-round knockout.
Marco makes great points here. Of course, Pam, as we know, Jacare also coming off of a shoulder surgery, I believe it was.
Yep.
And this is his first fight coming back. So let's throw it to you, Pam. What you got in the main event?
Okie dokie. Well, first of all, shout out to Wilmington homeboy, Brunson. So this is going to be a really good fight, I think. Jacare and Brunson part two. Now, keep in mind, my concern about Souza is ring rust and coming off of the damage that he had. And he had done an interview, and they had asked him about his shoulder injury when he fought Whittaker. Apparently, he had gone in already injured, but he said that was not a factor, just that Whittaker was the better man that night. So keep in mind, Brunson also has a loss to Whittaker first round. And if you look at, I agree, hang on, my baby G is standing on my computer and I couldn't see what I was doing. Okay, so Brunson does have KO power. His last, I think I wrote it down here, his last six wins have been by the first round. But, hang on, let me move this cat because I keep looking for something and she keeps stepping on the keys. And so, first round KOs. Okay. Lyoto Machida coming back out of his suspension. First round KO. Daniel Kelly, Dad Bod Kelly, KO by first round. Uriah Hall, mental case, or head case, not mental, head case, first round KO. Sam Alvey, first round KO. So, again, I'm looking at, oh my gosh, I can't even, she just shut down my computer, so let me go by my notes here. Okay, so we're looking at that. And he does have KO power. He's got speed, power wrestling. He's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. He's a three-time Division II wrestling All-American. Has losses to Whittaker. Status. Silva and Souza. He's 11 KOs, 3 subs, 4 decision wins. But now you're looking at Ronaldo Souza, right? Number 3, submissions, takedowns, strength, boxing, wrestling, KO power. His last 3 wins also were in the first round. He's the middle Strikeforce middleweight champ. He's a jiu-jitsu world champ. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu and judo. He does have a win over Brunson by a first-round TKO in 2012. Lost to Romero was a split, and Whitaker was a second-round TKO. And given that, you know, I like Romero. I hate how when the whole division was kind of messed up, I hate that he didn't get his title shot. But you know what? Souza with his 6 KOs, 14 subs, and 4 decisions, I ought to go with Chakaray. Second round submission. Everything I'm picking is, no, you know what? Third round submission. Because I think he's going to want to use those first couple of rounds to kind of get loosened up, see where that shoulder is. And third round for me with Chakaray Souza.
Chakaray. Real quick before we go to the next guy.
Okay.
On an interview, Brett Tagamoto brought out the fact that, you know, Joel Romero disclosed that he got a really hard time on his recovery from the shoulder surgery. And he even considered retirement. You know, he had a hard time on the training camp. If that is that kind of thought of retirement is keeping into your mind, yeah, you know, that's what I got a lot of issues with it. I forgot about that part because, you know, I forgot about the injury. You brought it up, Pam. Thank you for reminding me. But, yeah, that according to Greg Akamoto, that saw creep out into Jacare's mind because having a hard time with the recovery with the shoulder surgery, and at the training camp itself, man. So, yeah, just take that into consideration.
And, Tony, before we get into your pick, I mean, Pam mentioned Robert Whitaker, Bobby Knuckles quite a bit in her breakdown, and I wanted to give a shout-out to him and his family, and hopefully he's – thank you. Hopefully he's doing much better. Sounds like something terrible, you know, a little staph infection, eating at his organs. That's always not very good. So, Tony, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to Bobby Knuckles. What you got going on here? Absolutely. And apparently it was misdiagnosed as well, Marco, so that's even worse.
Yeah, no, that is what killed Kevin Randleman, dude.
Exactly.
The staff.
You know what? We can go into some of the Bobby Knuckles stuff once we get into the news. But, you know, I'll just say quickly while you said it, while it's stuck in my mind. Bobby Knuckles' career reminds me a lot of Cain Velasquez in terms of so much is going to be left on in the what if. Because I think that Bobby Knuckles is always going to be struck with some sort of weird injuries, et cetera. So that's what I think. So it's going to be a shame. You know what, guys? I didn't know about Jacare pondering whether or not he would retire. But the one thing that when we talk about age, we have to make sure we throw an asterisk in Brazilian age, right? Because we don't know what they're taking, you know, what special shakes they're taking over there. But Jacare is in tremendous shape, guys. And you know what? Derek Brunson, I think we forget there's only a 4-year difference with Derek Brunson and Jacare Souza. And Derek Brunson has fought a lot more recently than Jacare Souza. Jacare Souza hasn't fought in almost a year. What does that mean, guys? Punishment, right? Because don't forget, he got TKO'd quickly by Robert Whitaker, lost against a very aging, perhaps not on its supplement, Anderson Silva. Beat Daniel Kelly. I didn't think he would beat Daniel Kelly. Beat Lyoto Machida. I didn't think that would happen, but I think Machida's gone. I really do think that's it. Somehow I think Jacare is going to pull it off, guys. I think it's going to be a decision. Like Pam would always say, a decisionator. Shout out to Team Alpha Male. Of course, decisionator coined by the one and only Uriah Faber. But, yeah, I think I didn't know that he was going to retire, but I think Souza's going to do it, be a decision.
Excuse me. Yeah, guys, I think a lot of the concern could be for Jacare here. He has taken a long period of time off. A year is pretty good. And, of course, you've got to rehab that shoulder. And, Marco, I mean, shout out to Brad Okamoto in that particular article. But, I don't think that Jacare's head is there. I think you know, Joel Romero, as you mentioned, who, thank you, Tony, who the article was about, you know, I had a very hard time with it. I've not heard, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I haven't heard anything about Jacare being concerned about the surgery. You think it went over well, and if he's been rehabbed well and he's back to training and looking good, getting off the bus, I'm going to take Jacare also, guys. I'm going to take him early as well. I'm probably going to take him, as Marco said, in the second round KO, but I'm going to take him the other way, not Bronson. I'm going to take Jacare like a carbon copy of their first fight. I'm going to take Jacare. I think he's got Bronson's number. Proteus.
And I'm on an island again.
Yeah, you are definitely on an island. And how did your picks go last week, Marco?
4-0, baby.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, guys,
I am back, bitches.
You are on the winning track.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
So, guys, as we're just over the halfway mark, we're not going to do any spotlight fights of the night tonight, but I just wanted to say the main event of the prelims and the main event of the early prelims, very exciting, some great fights on the prelims as well. But let's move along, guys. Last weekend at UFC 220, we witnessed history.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, that was the main thing that I wanted to see. I said that last week. And I think we got to start with this story first, guys, because we have to give credit where credit is due. The first responder from way down there in Ohio comes out and embarrasses the top contender, and I mean he embarrassed him, guys. The only thing he did not do is smack his ass. Stipe Miocic getting the decision win and becoming the most winningest heavyweight fighter in the UFC ever, making that history. Marco, let's throw to you first. What you got on this one?
Let me tell you, without the shadow of a doubt, that is Stone Cold Stipe is the best heavyweight of all time. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold Stipe. That's all. What did I tell you? What did I tell you all, muscles? Everybody, bow down to me. I call it exactly how it went. Freaking Stipe was getting disrespected. He was being overlooked. And he wrestled from the shit out of this guy. He freaking sucked his gas tank out. He choked his chin. He survived the onslaught of the monster, the predator, the guy to the chopper guy. But Stipe is a man, dude.
Who picked Ngannou?
I don't know. Tony?
No.
I
Tony
did.
Picked,
I did.
You did?
Tony?
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
I got an elephant's memory.
Yeah, I picked Stipe. Proteus, you went with Stipe, right?
Yep, decision. Yep.
Yep.
Awesome.
So, Stipe is a man, you know, the best heavyweight ever. And the only fight that I care about right now is the Cain Velasquez fight. You know, so there is no argument about who the best heavyweight ever is. And after that,
wow,
won the Daniel Cormier fight. So there is no argument who is, you know, the second best heavyweight after Cain Velasquez is supposed to be DC. And there will no argument then. And then after that second fight, the third fight will be John Jones for the best fighter ever. Stipe, that is your legacy. Those are the three fights you have to win. No easy fights, neither one of them, but I think he can do it, man. I'm happy for Stipe. I'm happy about the fact that he slided freaking Dana White and took the belt away from him.
I absolutely loved that.
I love the fact that he shout out Modelo Especial on his post-fight press conference.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to take a Modelo Especial. And everything is good for Stipe Miocic. Pay the man, respect the man, showcase the man. And, you know, let's start getting into the conversation of one of the best fighters ever. Not only a heavyweight, because he's already the greatest heavyweight ever. Fuck you, Feather. But
thank
also
you.
One of the best fighters of all time. I concede the floor.
So,
and
Pam,
not only that,
Marco,
just so humble, and so likable. And I like at the end where he's like, I don't care about that. I'm going to be a dad. I thought that was so sweet. And just, I was just so glad that he won because, you know, everybody basically threw him under the bus. I remember when they announced the fight and everybody was, you know, RIP Stipe. and new champion and blah, blah, you know, and I thought that was just like so shitty, but I'm so glad that he went out there and he won, and I'm glad that he took him all five rounds. And, you know, with respect to Ngannou for sticking it out those five rounds, even though he was getting his ass beat, you know, good for him. But I was so happy that Stipe won. And at the end, when he took the belt and gave it to his coach and had his coach put on, he said, I respect him. That was icing on the cake.
Yeah. Let me interject in that. Yeah, respect for Francis, because if you don't look for a way out, the guy took his ass whipping like a man.
He did. And he admitted it. Yep.
Ngannou's going to be a player in the heavyweight division because a lot of one-dimensional guys are heavyweight, you know? And you know, like Chuck Congo, the Chuck Congo, when he came in, first he didn't know wrestling, but then he learned it. If Ngannou can learn some wrestling, then watch out. You know, if he can get some cardio, then watch out. Right now, he got a lot of holes to fill because he got exposed. But the guy is 31.
Yep.
He's relatively young in the heavyweight division. And, you know, in a couple of years, when he shows up those deficiencies, we might have something. But too much too soon for him. But, you know, good for him for speaking it out.
Tony?
Here's the thing, guys. I'm glad that everyone's giving credit where credit is deserved, and that's to Stipe. Because I said in our Smack My Picks Up that Stipe would have to fight a nearly perfect fight, not just to win, but to not get caught. And that's what Stipe did. I mean, he took some shots. He had a chin. Hey, listen, Francis Ngannou took some shots, and he had a chin.
Yep.
Clearly, he was outmatched on the floor, but he did not. Every single time he swung, Ngannou still had a chance to knock out Stipe. So we can – listen, I think we all love Stipe. We can all get on the Stipe bandwagon like we should have, right, and not like the bandwagon that I was on, which is the Ngannou bandwagon. But let's not take anything away from him. Like Marco said, he could have tapped out. He could have gone into literally just given up, right, and said, you know what, that's it. Pam was giving me the play-by-play on that one. And
oh,
it could have gone
funny,
the other
yeah.
way, but you know what? But you know what? He didn't give up. I think he's always going to have that puncher's chance, but I think everyone needs to give credit to Stipe. Like, you know, Ngannou said that he underestimated Stipe. I think we all underestimated Stipe. I underestimated Stipe. Stipe deserves that belt, and he's a great champion.
Yeah, and of course, as we mentioned, the most – go ahead, Marco.
No, go ahead, brothers. I'll cap later. Go ahead.
As I mentioned, the most winningest heavyweight champion of all time, I mean, that's where you got to give the credit where the credit is due. Now, listen, a couple of quick things because we need to keep this train moving along. A couple of things that I was pissed off about. One, the promotion of Stipe Miocic is lackluster. Reminds me of someone else who's one of the most winningest champions in the UFC. That's right, Mighty Mouse, also not being able to get his due. The UFC is dropping the ball hugely on these guys. Both guys made history. Both guys are being underpromoted. I know they're not doing themselves any favors, but that's who these guys are. Secondly, Francis Ngannou, not having the ice packs on him, but choosing to go with being a billboard whilst he was in the corners, having that body armor towel all draped over him. And when they were asked about that particular situation, they said, oh, we do not concentrate on these things. Come on, man. That was blatantly advertising. I know those towels were handed out to everybody, all fighters on this particular card. Bad form by the UFC. Thirdly,
I agree.
Francis Ngannou.
Well, it's so funny. They said, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was thinking about
something.
You guys can chime in.
Okay.
Thirdly and finally, as I mentioned, when Francis Ngannou made the move from Paris, France to the Performance Institute, I said, listen, there's in Las Vegas, there is one thing that he needs to do. He needs to find himself a camp and learn wrestling. He cannot just stay at that Performance Institute. There are no coaches there for him to learn from. He needs to find a camp. He needs to get that wrestling game shored up. Again, show lots of heart, but I felt, Tony, and I know you don't agree with me, that he got embarrassed in there. Marco and Pam, you can fight over who goes next.
Oh, no, I just want to say, mine's just real quick. When you're talking about the towels and they said, oh, we don't check those details. Well, bullshit if they don't, because you had, what was one of the fights, and it was not too long ago, Mario Yamasaki was wearing a Nike shirt.
Yes.
And one of the refs ran up real quick and put a piece of tape on it. So how can you say you don't pay attention to those little details, you know? I call BS on that. But, okay, go ahead, Marco. I'm sorry.
Okay, when it comes to the towels and not putting ice on Ngannou, that is on the corner. That is not on the USA. Because, you know, you didn't see all the other corners using the damn freaking towels. They all put ice on their fighter. That is on Ngannou because Ngannou got a freaking body armor sponsorship. Because that is that. When it comes to the Performance Institute, you know, a lot of people get it wrong. I mean, you don't go to the Performance Institute to get your camp. You get there to recover. Because if you want the best physical therapy, the best recovery machines, the best equipment, you go to the Performance Institute, but then you have to bring your own coaches. So Ngannou is responsible for the coaching he gets. You know, he can go down the street at Extreme Couture and learn some wrestling. It's not like there is a lack of, you know, really good camps out there on Vegas alone, you know. So that is for the fighter and their management of the fighter. Everybody can use a damn freaking PI, man. That's a lot of fighters that are using it and loving it. And it's not only Ngannou was the highest profile guy, but there is a lot of guys that are using the place, especially the Vegas resident fighters, and they love it because they get all the recovery that they need and all the nutrition they need, and they don't have to pay shit for it. So let's give credit where credit is due. When it comes to Ngannou, I think that the next fight for him, and I say it because it needs to happen soon, is him before against the Black Beast. Because that fight will be entertaining, and I think the Black Beast win that fight, Derek Lewis. But that is a conversation for another day.
Of course, there's animosity there already, as we know, the Twitter beefs kind of back and forth. Quickly, let's move along to the co-main event on this card. And of course, I want to eat my hat on this one. You know, I don't have to be a Daniel Cormier fan to give him the credit that he deserves in this particular fight. Coming back, saying that he, you know, took that vacant belt with this win, picking that championship back up and really dominating Volkan Oezdemir. Pam, let's throw to you. What did you see in this fight?
I picked DC. I picked him by a second round submission, TKO. And I was so happy that he won this fight. He is a true champion. And the thing that bothers me is he wins this fight. He goes out there, you know, he leaves his family, he goes to training camp, puts everything into this fight. He wins the fight, and then you go on Twitter, and everybody is like, but you didn't beat Jones. You know, when is that going to end? You know, is Jones even ever coming back? But what more does this guy have to prove that he's a champion? I mean, he is, to me, the epitome of a champion. He's defended his belt. How many? Is it three or four times now? Three? He's humble. He's gracious. He's a great spokesperson. And he is so genuinely, you know, kind to his opponents. He's very gracious to his opponents after they win. And so, I mean, what more do they want from this guy, for heaven's sake? I was so glad that he won, and kudos to him. It was a great fight.
And Marco, when we throw into you here, I mean, we've talked to Pam about this before. You've mentioned this, that, you know, John Jones will follow Daniel Cormier until he beats John Jones twice. Go ahead, Marco.
What did I tell you guys? There is levels to this game. There is levels to this shit. Oezdemir is going to be fine, you know what I mean? He's going to learn from this. He's young. He's going to be in the game for a while. He's going to do what Alexander Gustafsson did and get himself a wrestling coach, a good one, you know? Because, he's on ATT, so he got some good training up there, but that's a story for another day. Happy for Daniel. You know, he went to Junkie and let us know that after March 30th of 2019, he won't be fighting anymore when he turns 40. So we got probably 420 days left of Daniel Cormier. And he mapped out his probably next 420 days with three fights. He's healing from a thumb injury and some ligament damage on his wrist. So he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. So we'll probably see him in July. But these are the three fights I want for him. Like I map out his Stipe Miocic fights. I want to map out the role for freaking Daniel. he needs to beat Gustafsson on a rematch just to solidify him as the best light heavyweight, not named John Jones. Then he needs to go and beat Stipe so he becomes a two-way world champion, an automatic lock on the Hall of Fame. And then his last fight for all the marbles, and that doesn't matter if it's a heavyweight or light heavyweight, versus John Jones in 2019, beat that guy and become the best fighter ever, too. You know, it's a two-horse race right now, well, a three-horse race if you count John Jones for the best fighter ever. But that is the swan song for Daniel Cormier if everything lines up. I'm happy for Daniel. He's a great guy, man. I was honestly super happy for him, and I was so happy that the Boston crowd gave him the respect and the kudos that he deserved, chanting his name, and you know, deservedly so. So good for Daniel Cormier.
And DJ Tony, I'm going to throw it to you. I thought Daniel Cormier's stand up looked really, really good against someone who we were touting as a very dangerous striker. We kind of saw the things go back. We kind of had the same problem in the co-main and the main event where the big striker just got handled. So what did you see there, DJ Tony?
Yeah, I know that Proteus, you're not a big fan of DC, and I respect everyone sort of, you know, giving their 2 cents because we all have our 2 cents, right? But yeah, I just want to say, listen, I think DC is one of the most genuine people in this business. I really do. I think the fact that he left his, is willing to cry on TV, is willing to talk about his moments where he and his son and his family, you know, on Sunday night, shout out to the man in a hat with that story. But I think he's one of the most genuine people in this business. And I think he's one of the kindest people in this business. So I'm really happy for him. And again, listen, John Jones may be the most talented, but DC is the most talented, the classiest in that division. So shout out to DC.
Okay, guys, we've got about 8 minutes left in the show, so we're not going to be able to get into any news, but I wanted to touch on an important fight here. Same day, Bellator going head-to-head with the UFC, Bellator 192. And I think, guys, there's only one fight on the main card that we need to talk about. That is Rory McDonald versus Douglas Lima, of course. Rory coming out the winner and getting a belt finally in a major promotion. Marco, let's throw to you on this one. What you got here?
All right, so we're going to talk about Chael Pearson and winner of the first round of the Open Way Grand Prix.
Oh, God.
Well, what did I tell you? I told you exactly how I was going to go, but call me Marco Damus, man. Call me Marco Damus. Rory McDonald, what a son of the bitch is, man. The guy have a freaking alien life form growing out of his chin, you know, due to, you know, compliments of Douglas Lima's leg hits. His face, you know, his nose probably rebroken, but the guy grinded it out and found a way to win. Like Lawrence Larkin said to Brad Nakamoto, you know, Douglas Lima, a little bit of a lack of fight IQ, because everybody and their mother could see that freaking monster hematoma on Rory McDonald's leg, and, you know, he should just keep kicking it. Kudos to freaking Rory McDonald to change it up and try to take it immediately to the ground so he can save his leg. The guy's a warrior. For everybody said, oh, the Canadian psycho, the guy, weirdo, whatever, you know. When it comes to the nitty-gritty, when it comes to the fighting part, the guy is willing to give his body up just to win a fight. You know, win or lose, the guy, he will always try to he'll throw himself to the freaking running, trying to freaking stop the train. Good for Rory McDonald. I'm happy for him. I am pissed off about the fact that Chael and freaking Rampage make $300,000 each, and Douglas Lima and Rory only make $100,000. What the fuck, Bellator? You know? I mean, Rory, you left the UFC because you wanted more money. You were getting paid more on the UFC, for crying out loud. But that is a story for another day. He got a belt. Hopefully he make this belt mean something, because like I always say, Bellator don't promote their champions. When was the last time they promoted their new lightweight champion? They don't even mention him, you know? And they don't even have a heavyweight champion, because that is the whole point of the Open Way Grand Prix. Promote Rory McDonald. Promoting. He's probably the second, if not the best welterweight on the planet, and you are doing him a disservice by putting him in this quote-unquote double main event bullshit. He wasn't the co-main event, and you screw him out of being the freaking the main event on this card just because you want two old guys to freaking go at it, you know, because they got name recognition. Roddy McDonald, I heard you beat everybody on Bellator, destroy everybody on Bellator, and then go back to the UFC and reclaim your position as one of the best fighters on the planet.
Pammy, what you got here?
I thought it was a great fight. You know, true Rory fashion, and the funny thing to me is, you know, his always his post-interviews, he's so just, it's like he's ordering a coffee. I'll have a, you know, double latte and a, he's just like so nonchalant about his wins, you know, so kudos for him. And I read his post fight. He did say that it was a hematoma. His leg wasn't broken and his nose was not broken as well. So
that is good.
I'm glad that he won. I'm glad that he won. But real quick, Aaron Pico, man, first round KO. That was pretty awesome too.
Yeah, very impressive. Tony, we got to wrap up here, guys. So let's throw to Tony, get his comments here, and then we'll get out of here for tonight. Tony, Rory McDonald versus Douglas Lima. We're going to see this again, as I mentioned last Wednesday.
Yeah, we are. I just want to say, listen, Rory McDonald, he's one hell of a fighter, guys. That spirit to not give up, and that was a tough fight. I hope we see it a few more times. I thought that was a great fight, and good on Bellator. I want to give a shout out real quick to Proteus, because Proteus called it. I think Bellator put this fight as a co-main because people knew everyone was going to turn in. I think everyone was going to view in the UFC for the main event.
Yeah.
So that's what I think they did. I could be wrong, but that's what I see.
Yeah, I mean, like you guys mentioned, disappointing fight between Chael and Rampage, as we kind of figured it would be. Excellent job by Rory McDonald. Excellent job by Aaron Pico. Congratulations to Bellator for bringing Aaron Pico up the way they should as well. Tony, go ahead and run the music. We'll get everybody's Twitter follow of the night. Pam, let's start with you. And again, have fun this weekend. Enjoy North Carolina.
Thank you. You know what? I didn't pick a Twitter follow because I was too busy. But you know what? I forgot what I was going to say. I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. It's going to be fun. I'll send you guys updates. I had a BTS attack.
Yes, and of course, say hello to Lerone for us. We have not heard his voice on the show for a while,
but
of course, life gets in the way sometimes. DJ Tony, what do you got?
I want to give a shout out to Danny Okers, Danny Otto of Automatic 253. He has a TV show, a YouTube show that he's doing on Wednesdays. Keep an eye out for that. He did a great job. So shout out to Danny Otto of Automatic 253.
Absolutely.
Oh, I like him.
Shout out to Junkie Nation in general. I mean, we got to support our own. For me, guys, I wanted, again, bring it back to Bobby Knuckles. I wanted to wish him well. You know, we only get a couple of chances at having a title, and hopefully he can get better and come back in his true form. Marco, finish the show for us, please.
So, my recommendation for this week is that watch the show Waco on the Paramount Network, you know? Then a little bit more about the Frank Sabinian and all that bullshit that happened a couple of decades ago. Follow DJ at I Am DJ Tony. Follow Pan Pandora Box. Follow Produce at Produce. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review us on iTunes. Not going to get it. Helps the algorithm. I would like to know the numbers. You know, DJ Tony, this close. And you guys, you know, enjoy this weekend of fight. We're going to miss you guys. Catch you guys next week.
And of course, just like that, Pammy,
we are out. Good night.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Shut the way.